Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Joshua and David had their worries, had their troubles in their day. But they knew no harm could overcome them when they'd kneel right down and pray.
Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you read the Bible?
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, April 8th, 2019. My great weekend recap about Huntley Brown concert with the Singing Men of GNN, and then the special orphans fundraiser with the Great News Radio Children's Choir will wait for tomorrow, because the special guest that's going to assist us on this Memorization Monday is Huey Freeman. And Huey, who's a board member now, has traveled to Israel with me, has been a dear friend. His wife Kate leads the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. But Huey was one of the first interviews we had many, many years ago, where to share his testimony, it took 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think I may have never had anyone else that filled up 3 days. But it wasn't just 3 days of filling it up.
Oh.
It was interesting, fascinating. They were highlights of how God worked in his life in so many unique ways, how he brought Kate into his life.
Mm.
In fact, we were riveted. We couldn't wait for the next day to continue
great.
The conversation. So I want to kind of jump right into this conversation, because I feel God will lead it in a variety of ways. And with our special verse today being Romans 10:9, which says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. And Marianne, as you and I were talking about this verse and we were thinking who we'd have, and you suggested Huey Freeman, I thought, you know what? It fits, because of all the people I know, Huey would be one that loves to say Jesus is Lord and loves to talk about that very fact. So our verse today again, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes, and I hope that'll include a little summary or an overview of how Huey began calling on Jesus' name, that Jesus is Lord. But let's read what Robert J. Morgan has to say out of his book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Knows by Heart. And then we can have you jump into this conversation in just a minute, Huey.
All right. Well, I will read, but I have to say, Huey, first, what a thing to be known for, that you like to say Jesus is Lord.
I like to say praise the Lord.
That's incredible. Okay, I'm going to read. This is number 8 of our memory verses, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Hmm.
As a boy, I heard my dad talk about a favorite preacher of his, a man named Hyman Appleman. Recently, I came across a biography of Dr. Appleman and discovered he was born into a Russian-Jewish family in 1902. When he was 12, his family immigrated to America and settled in Chicago, where Appleman grew up to become a hard-working attorney. In 1924, Appleman, suffering from a physical breakdown, traveled west to recover and checked into the downtown YMCA in Kansas City. There he met a newspaper reporter who witnessed
him. Wow, I'm just having to stop here for a second. Huey, this was not orchestrated. You know, your Jewish background, being Jewish, and then the newspaper report. I'm like, wow, this is like developing, like God ordained this.
We're not even done yet. His family was Russian Jewish.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Wow.
Okay. I don't even know.
At least
All
I digress
right.
more.
Yeah. Where was I? Okay. I was Kansas City. There he met a newspaper reporter who witnessed to him about Jesus Christ. Later, he began reading a Bible he found in his room. Traveling to Denver, Appleman met other Christians, including a local pastor who told him, "You don't need a doctor, my boy. You need the Lord Jesus Christ."
Mm.
The pastor opened a Bible to Romans 10:9 and explained the verse as carefully as he knew how. Appleman, 23, prayed and claimed this text as his own. But When he sent a telegram to tell his family what he'd done, they were horrified. His fiancée broke the engagement, and Appleman was an outcast from his friends. He persevered through difficult days and went on to become one of the greatest evangelists of his era. Hundreds of thousands of people confessed Christ in his meetings, and he often referred to himself as a little Jew with a big Jesus.
This is classic.
A little Jew with a big Jesus. That's funny. The phrase, "Jesus is Lord," was the New Testament confession of faith. It is the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is God himself and that we are making him the Lord of our lives. This is our declaration when we decide to believe and receive the truth of the risen Christ. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Here is a memory tip. We can't memorize everything, and there's no reason to learn useless information. We must be intentional about what we memorize. In her book, Total Recall, Joan Menninger says, "Scientists estimate that we remember only one out of every 100 pieces of information we receive. If we remembered everything, they say, we would be paralyzed by information overload." It's probably what's going on in our culture.
Yeah.
"A good memory must be selective. As intentional memorizers, let's select key scriptures and deliberately inscribe them on the walls of our brains." And here's a quote from Hyman Appleman. "The remedy is not only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It is the gospel preached ceaselessly, endlessly, the gospel planted beside all waters, the gospel pressed and impressed upon the hearts of the multitudes." Hyman Appleman.
Now, Huey, I'm not going to call you a little Jew with
no,
a big Jesus.
No, we're not going there. No,
in fact, I've read this, but it's been some months, and I didn't reread it this last few days. But, wow, what a perfect person to step in. Now, are you familiar with this evangelist?
I have never heard of him before.
Wow. Interesting. You'll go home and look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard of him, but my grandfather was a Russian Jew. He was actually from the Ukraine. He was in the Russian army, came over to America. And apparently he came over in 1914. Well, my grandfather came over a few years before that. My dad was born in 1916. And most of my friends were Russian Jews because there was a great migration from Russia and that general area because the persecution of Jewish people was so tremendous. And also, it was the heart and soul of the immigration in the early days of Israel. There was more the Jewish people from the Russian Polish area than anywhere else that formed the basis of the Zionist movement in the beginning days.
And your family, I mean, that's your history.
That's my grandfather and grandmother. My grandfather was in the Russian army and the Tsar's army, and they persecuted Jews, so he deserted the army and took his wife, and they got some help, and at the risk of their lives, they came over to America. He would have been killed if he was captured.
Wow.
Well, we were talking off air beforehand about confessing Jesus as Lord, and when you first became a believer, you kind of wanted to keep it a secret. So maybe give us an overview of some of that testimony.
Well, the two things that really kept me out of the kingdom, because I don't know of any Jewish person whoever would want to become a Christian. There is no reason in the world that any Jewish person would naturally want to be a Christian. Our idea of Christianity is more or less that those are the people who persecute the Jews. But yet, I mean, I had Gentile friends. I didn't have any Christian friends. I had friends who were Gentiles, non-Jewish people, and we all got along fine. It wasn't like we were that separate from anyone else. But within the Jewish families, you are not going to become a Christian. I mean, that's a crazy thing to do. And I think more people would be familiar with, like, now Muslims, you know, if you leave the Muslim faith to become a Christian, you're in danger of your life. Well, the Jewish people varies a lot from family to family. I was more concerned about losing my friends, to be honest, because I felt my parents were not that religious, and it didn't seem to impact them that much, as I know if people are very religious. But my friends, it wasn't that we had in common so much Judaism. What we had in common was more the basic cultural immoral lifestyle and just love of enjoying life, which include drinking, maybe, you know, at some point using drugs. I was past that by the time I became a Christian. If you had a girlfriend, you know, anything goes. Realistically, if you're a non-believer, and I'm sure it's true in this culture now, why would you want to go with a Christian girl? I mean, what's there, you know? I mean, the way you think when you're a non-believer, so it's like you're totally crazy to become a Christian. And, you know, like I say, we were talking about, I gave my testimony at length on this radio station, and I love giving my testimony because in a way it's hilarious, but the turning point for me was that I fell off a mountain. And God saved my life as I was falling to my death.
Wow.
And that, number one, he got my attention, you know. I was stuck on that mountain all night because I fell on a frozen snowfield. I was sliding to my death, and I knew immediately that he stopped my progress as I was falling. But more importantly, in retrospect, it was the first time in my life that I really knew there was a God who cared about me specifically. And then it was later that summer that same God who started revealing himself to me, who was speaking to me, and he was guiding me while I was spending a lot of time hiking alone in the mountains. And he was guiding me, number one, if I lost the trail, because even though it was summer, there was a lot of snow, and I would totally lose the trail, because if you can't see it, you just wander around. And I would pray, and then he would show me which way to go. And number two, he showed me ways to find food when I ran out of food. So I trusted this guidance of God. And one day God said to me, "My way is through my son." And, oh, I was devastated.
Wow.
Being a Jewish person.
I didn't want to be a Christian. I was actually living that summer with a Christian. We were building a house in a little town called Sisters, Oregon. And he was preaching to me, and I would argue with him.
So he was a believer. He was a Christian.
He was a total Jesus freak believer.
And this was during the Jesus movement of the 60s?
Yes. And he was a friend of a Jewish girl that I knew, Shelley Fox, who became a Christian. And it didn't help my idea of wanting to be a Christian to see what happened to her. Because, you know, here she became a Christian. Nobody wanted anything to do with her anymore.
Yeah, no longer drinking or fooling around or...
Well, she was 2,000 miles away and living in Oregon, but the attitude that people had was basically she lost her mind. She's one of those crazy Jesus freaks, which we didn't know anybody who had done that.
Yeah.
And the idea that God had me to connect with her because I had been friends with her, and then, like, I was living in California, so I called her. But I felt like, oh, I'm really special because I would even talk to her, you know? You know what I mean? That's what I thought. It's like, oh, I'm a nicer guy than my other friends because I'll even talk to her, you know? But that's the mentality is like, she's lost.
Right.
She's lost. So when you realize that's what's going to happen to you if you become a Christian, they're going to talk behind your back that you're crazy. Why would they want anything to do with you anymore?
Yeah.
You know? But going back to the scripture... So that scripture where it says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men," that scripture, this is the message of faith that we proclaim, Romans 10:8-9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is so important because that is the essential message of separates us from non-believers, that we believe. Not only do we believe that Jesus is Lord, he's Lord of our lives specifically, not just that he's a general Lord. He's someone who's alive and that we take our marching orders from him. We seek him. We seek guidance from him. And then also that we know that God raised him from the dead because, like Paul said, you know, if he wasn't raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain because we know he isn't just another person who walked on the earth. He came back from the dead. He died a violent public death, And there's plenty of historic proof that he came back from the dead. So that scripture makes me think of a scripture that's really important to me, was a turning point in my life when, after I started believing in Christ, I did not run to the next church and become a believer.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with it. I didn't want to become one of those Christians. But I was in a church out in Idaho, I remember, and the preacher called out this scripture, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And he goes on to say that if you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven.
Scary scripture.
And this is out of Matthew?
This is out of Matthew, 10 and 32. And it's there's also scripture in Luke 12th chapter that's matching, just slightly different wording.
So was that scripture kind of a catalyst for you to speak out? Or
It really kind of changed my attitude towards whether I was actually going to become a Christian. Because I really thought, now I believe that Jesus is the way, but I don't want anyone to know that I believe that.
Yeah.
I didn't want my friends to know. I didn't want my family to know. If I went to church, it would be just a private thing that I would do. And then it showed me that you have to pay a price to be a Christian.
Hmm.
So that did set me on. It was still about 6 months later before I really made a public commitment. And one of the most important things about my testimony is that mentor, an older man who was instrumental in me really making a commitment, told me about baptism, and that was, for me, the turning point. And I know everybody has a different story. Some people don't even hardly remember their baptism. For me, it just happened to be a tremendous turning point. When I came out of the water, it's like the Bible said, I was a new creature in Christ, and the old person was dead. And it's funny because I thought later, I was baptized in Dexter Lake in the winter, and it was cold. And
yeah.
I asked that, I put out like a fleece to my pastor that if he really wanted me baptized, that he would say yes. That's what I told God, and he did say yes. And then years later, he said his legs were numb for a week.
Oh.
You know, but he was a hardy guy. He was a Forest Service worker, and he went along with it. And since then, I've had a vision while praying and worshiping God in church that, see, Dexter Lake, there's a dam, you know, that because it's on the Willamette River, so below the lake is a dam where every going through it kind of gets turned into hydroelectric power, and things get chopped up, you know, in the dam. And I had a vision of my old self really dying and going down to the dam and kind of getting totally destroyed.
And the Holy Spirit empowering you through that, you know, the dam, the electromagnetic.
Electroelectric dam.
That's that Holy Spirit infusing in you.
Well, the Holy Spirit gives you a new life, and that's why I recommend the new life in Christ, because it is actually a new life. I mean, you still struggle with situations. You learn you're not a perfect person. You're brand new in ways that you know that you're saved. You have no fear of death if you're really following Jesus Christ. You're saved from sin. You're saved from death because you have eternal life. So if I walk out across the street and get by a car and die, I'm not really dead. I'm going on to the rest of my eternal life. Jesus is the only one who promised eternal life to his followers. And we know his promise is good because he conquered death. He raised three people from the dead during the time he was on the earth. And then he was himself raised from the dead and walked the earth for 40 days after his resurrection.
Well, you have an important testimony there, Huey.
Thank you.
Well, when we talked about it, I said, Huey, there will be an opportunity to share your faith. And Huey has a heart like of an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
He wants people to know the saving love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this latter stage of your life, for the next 20 or 30 years, you want to proclaim Jesus as Lord, and you want to see the lost saved.
Amen.
You want broken hearts to be mended, because the Lord can do that, but they can secure their eternity by following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you want to proclaim, that Jesus is the Lord and people should follow him.
Yes, but I just have to correct you that I'm just starting my life right now. Because, you know, Moses, didn't really do much until he was 80 years old.
Well, you have a long way to go to get to 80.
I'm not 80 yet. I'm not 80 yet.
Oh, that's great.
So, I guess that's really hilarious on this is that my mentor, Lou Romer, who was 73 when I met him, and I was like 24.
Yeah.
And at one point, I was talking to him about my future as a young man. I was 25 when I went into the water and was baptized. And somehow he said to me, you know, Moses was 40 years in the wilderness before he really established his ministry, his life of leadership. So I just passed that 40-year point as a Christian.
Yeah.
And I really believe there's something special. Because when Lou said that, I never stopped thinking about it. And, you know, being in the wilderness.
Interesting.
Being in the wilderness. You know, living in central Illinois is kind of like being on the wilderness.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Marianne, you know what real wilderness is. To you, this is civilization.
We got running water and everything. Yeah. We got snow plows. We're living it up.
Yeah. Well, what a great verse. And you know, thank you, God, for your many years, Huey, of serving, of sharing the good news message of Jesus, being a part of our radio board, you know, our trips to Israel, involved in many facets of this ministry, you and Kate supporting us, and just being a lover of Jesus, as we've said with a few others, a free agent for Jesus. You just want to serve him and serve his kingdom. And what a great verse for us all this week, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth, so you need to say it, friend, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. Not just say it, but believe it. Recognize that God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God created you. Believe that in your heart. And then also believe the fact that God raised him from the dead. God raised Jesus from
the dead.
You will be saved. You will experience that eternal security. And then have the privilege of walking in that knowledge, knowing that God looks after you, desires that relationship. It can be intimate and personal. And it's just a journey all three of us are on. And I would pray that anyone tuned in today, that if they don't know the loving, saving faith that you can have by following the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll give Huey a call, you'll come by the station here, you'll find a Bible-believing church, talk to the pastor, and they'll love to walk you through how to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Huey.
Yeah,
thank you. Have you back down the road some more.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's many more facets to your story, and we serve a great God that deserves our worship and praise.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Huey Freeman with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.